Good evening, everyone. Good evening. If I can have your attention, we will start our meeting. Hello? Okay. Quiet, please. Thank you. Welcome to the July 12th meeting of the City Council. Let the record show that all council members are present. We'll begin our meeting with a moment of silence, and during that moment of silence, I would ask you to direct your thoughts and prayers to Ray McElligott, a wonderful citizen who passed away just before the 4th of July, and please direct your thoughts to his very lovely wife, Marion, and their family. Thank you. To lead us in the pledge tonight, we have Wendy and Alan Racco from Lost Isle Adventures.
Thank you very much. Your hand over your heart. I pledge 28-foot tritune, so it's really easy. It's kind of like a floating golf cart, but we have it decorated Gilligan's Island style. You can't hear the motor or anything, and it's just really quiet, and it goes along even though we do have a little music if we like. And it's covered. If anybody gets cold, we have lots of blankets on boards and umbrellas and different things for people. So it's really fun to just go over to the sand spit and just relax for a while. So on our tour, we go over to the rock, then we go over the sand spit for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then we continue on and show everybody the Embarcadero and how beautiful it is from the water and looking at all the boats. And we tell about all the businesses in the harbor and what they do and different fishing boats and what they catch, and just kind of give everybody that tours and locals alike just a local flavor of what we do here in Morro Bay. And if people want to stay at the sand spit longer, we invite them to do that because we come back every hour and I show them where the hikes are, where the trailheads are, so they don't go into the snowy plover area, so they follow the trail. And also, we show them how to walk along the bay and tell them they can be there for hours if they like. And we come and pick them up, and they have so much fun. And then also, we have treasure hunts. And we have all different kinds of treasure hunts. We have anything from educational, where they have to identify. To get to the next clue, maybe they have to identify the type of shell. So I use local shells from the area, like clams, oysters, abalones. So you would have to get the next clue, you would have to find the correct shell. Then you have to go to maybe some skulls. So then you have to identify which bird skull it is to get to the next clue after that. But we also have fun ones that are just for games. And also, if someone wants to do a treasure hunt for a sweetheart, I can bury whatever they picked out and put it in the box along with whatever I decide to put in the box. So you could just tell me when you call us that I have a special request for a treasure hunt, and then I'll just go along with my treasure hunt, but there'll be something special in the box that we would have planned ahead. Could be anything for a birthday, anniversary, or just anything special you'd like to do for someone that means something to you. So those are really fun, the treasure hunts, too, and those usually are $5 extra. Our tours are $10 for adults and $5 for kids. We try to make it affordable for everyone. And then the treasure hunts are $5. And then we also do group ones, like we did a graduation treasure hunt. So that was a group, and it was just actually just added on to the party. So the second thing that we do, besides touring the bay, which is really fun, is we do oyster farm tours. And as you probably know, that we have a long history of oyster farms in Morro Bay, and now we have two oyster farms, and they're really fabulous, and they produce beautiful oysters. So they're sold locally, and some of them are barbecued at our local restaurants, and so we'd like to show that and educate people on how oysters grow and the whole production of them that we have here, and also that there is sustainable seafood. So we take them back into the back harbor this time. Instead of going forward, we go back, and it's about an hour and a half. And we go past the double-breasted cormorant rookery, and we show the birds there because they're really beautiful. and how they behave. And also go back, and right now we have the white pelicans in the Back Bay, and we also have, of course, lots of seals and other things. So what we plan on doing in the future is being able to sell the, like, we can just go in the water. Well, I, in this case, will just pick out whichever oysters they would like to buy, if they would like to. Otherwise, I'll show them and tell them about them. But if they would like to purchase them from the Back Bay, I'll just pick out the size that they like and just have them fresh right out of the water to them. And then if they'd like to come back to Tidelands Park or at home, they can barbecue them or have shuck them raw, however they'd like. So that's the second service that we offer, is the oyster farm tour. And then the third service is we do parties. So if it's a birthday or an anniversary or a family reunion or anything that anyone wants to celebrate, or just a business group, we can take them for a ride. They can. We can also do schools, and we can bring them over to the sand spit if they'd like to for a few hours, and we'll just come pick up whenever they're ready. So that's just a brief summary of what we do. We have our business down on the pier at Giovanni's, right down below there, and we have some boards up that tell a little bit about what we do. And our hours start at 11 o'clock every day in the summer, and we run every hour on the hour. Now, tonight we have a 7 o'clock. We missed our 6 o'clock because we wanted to come talk to you. But at 7 o'clock tonight, so since we have so many people today and it's a beautiful day, we have a sunset cruise. And we do sunset cruises on the weekends normally, Friday and Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And it's usually kind of a little more laid-back cruise, and we just kind of cruise around. We don't talk a lot. Everybody just sort of relaxes. We also go over to the sand spit at that time, and people like to take pictures. And then
I think that's very important for our cities to protect the funds that we have left from the previous state takeaways and make sure there aren't any more. So I think that's it for my announcements. Betty? Rick? Noah?
More of a comment. I just wanted to respond to the 4th of July and the great organization that went into the celebration down there, and just really felt like Morrow 4th, and the people that were involved with the group put on a demonstration of how to collaborate and work together and really focus and bring something to town that was enjoyed by many. And the feedback that I'm getting from people that have attended from outside of town and within town has been really positive. So just wanted to extend my compliments to the Mora 4th for their work on that.
Okay. Carla? Well, I'm going to piggyback on that then, too, because I'm sorry I forgot to mention it. Thank you for doing that. This shows what a citizens committee can do. They started a year ago, and they put this on, and it was fabulous. So banding together with other people with like minds can really accomplish great things, and it was just terrific. The comments I've heard were it was just a wonderful family event. And one of the shop owners on the Embarcadero said after it was over, there wasn't a bunch of trash. People were just very appreciative and respectful, and that it was a very good thing all the way around. Also, wonderful weekend event, too, our farmers market this last weekend. Top Dog had gotten Laura Schlesinger, Dr. Schlesinger, in to promote her bags and donate some money to our canine collection, and that also was very well attended, and it was a lot of fun. So a lot of good things going on, most of them promoted and thought of by local citizens, so thank you all, and keep up the good work. Okay. Announcements tonight are police and fire. Who'd like to start?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council. Thank you. To start off with, yes, the 4th of July seemed to be a great event. We had a couple incidences, but considering the amount of people in town, we thought it was very successful. We enjoyed leading off the bike parade from the Rock, which was a little bit of a surprise. We were anticipating about 100 people participating, and we ended up having almost 300 people on bikes doing the parade. So that was a whole lot of fun. We look forward to doing that again next year. Unfortunately, July 4th was our last day for Officer Curtis Mooneyhan, who's going back to work with Diablo on a full-time basis. So we'll be back to a recruiting mode and hopefully hiring soon. If you haven't heard, for the third year in a row, Morro Bay Police Department worked with Project Surf Camp to volunteer for one of their camps for their kids at risk or kids at need or with special needs. And we were actually, the Today Show actually came out and filmed it, so Morro Bay got some good publicity out of that. And they were in the competition with the Today Show for a $100,000 award grant, which would help their program. They didn't get the award, but Pepsi, who puts on the awards, actually, there was four finalists, and they agreed that the three people who didn't get it would get a $50,000 award themselves. So congratulations to Project Surf Camp on that, a very worthwhile program. And along with the Top Dog Permit, we appreciate being able to kick off our canine grassroots campaign to bring a canine back to Morro Bay. We figured Top Dog, Cop Dog was probably a good fit to kick it off, so we did a tri-tip barbecue for that. The community was outstanding. We really appreciated the support. We actually had one of the canines from Atascadero with Officer John Taylor, who was a previous officer here and went to work at Atascadero, now has a canine there. So we hope to bring the canine program here. We're looking for a dual-purpose dog, which can do pursuits, searches, and can also do narcotics detection. My thanks to the Friends of the Morro Bay Police Department Incorporated, which is a nonprofit who is kind of getting this campaign going for us and collecting the funds. We hope to do it at no cost to the city. And a special thanks, so thank you very much to the community for the support they showed. And a special thanks to Councilmember Grantham, who purchased all the tri-tip and donated it to the barbecue so we'd have 100% profit. And also to Councilmember Borchard, who made a very nice $500 donation from her discretionary funds as a council member. So thank you very much for that support and everybody that was out there. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have I wanted to echo the July 4th as far as the fire department's perspective was. It was a great event. We had no citations that were given out. We did see some illegal fireworks being used in a couple areas of town. However, when people got there, we couldn't identify where they had come from. So I would encourage those people to not do that in the future. It is a pretty significant fine. But in general, 99.9% of what occurred in the city that day was wonderful. It was a wonderful event for long now where we've gone out to bid with we've had an RFP go out. We've received six proposals back to do an environmental assessment. Those are currently we've been narrowed down to three. Those three will be contacted and have an interview, and will be selected to do our environmental assessment. We expect that assessment will take about 60 days. Then we should be able to have the funds released and go out to bid. So we're getting closer. Thank you, and if you have any questions, be happy to respond.
All right. And the administration, Andrea?
We will in the next few days have the July issue of In the Loop, the city newsletter on the website. Just a reminder that this weekend is another big event in Morro Bay. The Rock to Pier Run will be on Saturday. There are usually upwards of 1,000 to 1,100 runners in that event. And then also I got to be a participant with the July 4th event at Tylands Park. And again, just a thank you to the organizers of that event. The flags along the park perimeter were outstanding, and it was quite a sight to see. So thank you to the Morro Bay 4th.
Okay, and closed session report. Bob?
Yes, good evening. Prior to tonight's council meeting, council met in closed session on one item, the evaluation of the city attorney and his contract. The city council did take action in closed session as to two items pertaining to the city attorney's contract. The first was the term of the agreement was changed from a four-year agreement to a two-year agreement. The other action that was taken was that the termination without cause contract clause was changed from a nine-month severance to a six-month severance. The motion was passed 4-1 with Rick Grantham voting no.
Okay. And one more announcement. This is our only meeting in July, so the next meeting of the City Council after this will be August 9th. So we're all taking a little vacation. All right. We will now open public comment. Anyone wishing to speak, please come forward. Zeke, we need somebody here on the overhead, please.
Good evening, Mayor Peters and City Council. Susan Brown, manager at Morro Bay Transit and the trolley. This is our brochure on the overhead for Morro Bay Transit. It started July 1st in place of the Dial-A-Ride service. It starts operating at 6:40 in the morning at Spencer's, and it operates until 5:30. It ends 5:30 at City Park. The service is Monday through Friday. From 6:40 on, it makes a continuous loop once every hour around town, so getting back to Spencer's at 40 minutes before every hour. It hits all the major shopping centers in Morro Bay, which would be Albertsons, Cookie Crock, and Spencer's. The one comment we've got the most of is the fare is less, in fact, way less than it used to be. It's 60 cents for a disabled person to ride, and that would get you, what we've encouraged people to do is to ride the full loop, to get a whole loop 1 hour around town for the 60 cents. So down below, thank you, is the fare information. The fares are $1.25 for a regular rider, 60 cents is for a senior or disabled rider, and Morro Bay Transit is for everyone to ride. The seniors, anyone that's a senior, disabled, or a child, K through 12, can call and get, if they can't get to a fixed route stop, they can call for a call a ride. They can call from 8 to 10 a.m. the day before. The ride will be $2.50 and it's curb to curb. And the phone number is 772-2744. The driver has a punch passes available for sale on board, and there's day passes where they stamp your hand if you're disabled or senior. It's $2 for all day, and for regulars it's $4 for all day. There's transit signs now posted at most of the stops, but the bus will stop anywhere along the route if you flag it down. And this is what you do. You just stand there and flag it down. Mm-hmm. That's how you catch it. And the driver can stop anywhere along the route that's safe at any time, as long as you know your times, which are, there's four times posted on there. It's very regular. It's not coming when it wants to. It's coming right on those times because it's a fixed route. So it kind of tracks the trolley in some ways. And Monday and Friday, the trolley is also running. So going into the trolley, we had a really good weekend, 4th of July weekend. And we had over 1,500 passengers 4th of July, which is the most ever. And most of them came from the campgrounds. The Morro Strand campground kind of emptied out. Everyone went to 4th of July on the trolley. So we had a real successful time. Anyway, this information is available on the Morro Bay website. And if you Google Morro Bay Transit,
anyone can donate food and we'll sell the food. You can just show up and we'll set you up with at a table to play the game. And it's a no-brainer type of game. So we're really hoping to get a lot of people for that. Then tomorrow night, anybody who's involved with Relay for Life, there's a meeting tomorrow night at Flying Dutchman at 5:30. Next Tuesday night, I think it's the 20th, this is going to be a mandatory meeting for everybody who's involved at any level with Relay for Life. This includes all the team captains, and this time it will be at the Rock Harbor Church, 1475 Quintana Road, and that's at 5:30. And that's it.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mike Anderson, and I'm here tonight regarding the dog park at Del Mar. I live in the neighborhood immediately adjacent to Del Mar Park, and my and my neighbor's quiet enjoyment of our property has been seriously changed in a negative way. We hear not only barking dogs, but dogs fighting and owners yelling at their dogs, and we just feel these aren't happy neighborhood sounds or happy park sounds. The night that the council voted in favor of the park a couple years ago, the mayor told us two things, that the dog park in our backyards wouldn't be as bad as we thought, And if there was a problem, council would make it good. Well, it's actually worse than we thought it was going to be, and we feel it's time for the mayor to fulfill that promise. It's time to make it good. The dog owners themselves who use the park probably spend only 20 to 30 minutes there. And for them, any barking is only temporary and otherwise acceptable part of their experience. For my neighbors and me, the barking can sometimes be a steady stream of those 20-minute visits. And unlike the dog owners, we're unable to exercise any control over the dogs. Dog parks are no doubt a positive attribute of the community, but they should not exist to the detriment of the residents who live in the adjacent neighborhood. The people who support the park don't realize the negative impact because they don't live nearby and they don't hear the constant noise. This is bad planning and this is incompatible land use. The concerns of my family and my neighbors need to be heard. We'd like to know who's in charge and who's responsible. So I'm here tonight to ask that you give some attention to our problem and to help us find a solution that will restore peace and quiet to our neighborhood. I ask that the council direct the staff to look into our complaints and have the issue put on the council's agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we did get your letter and petition.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I have a map of the park over here. The map's kind of on the bottom. The park's on the bottom of the map. And there's Island Street, and that red arc represents a 300-foot line from the park. So I don't know if you can tell, but there's 10 or 15 lots in that 300-foot range, and some of the houses are more like 200 feet, which just for so you can get a feel for what 200 feet is, it's roughly from the corner over out back where you park your cars to the other corner of the parking lot way down here. That's about 200 feet. So just to give you an idea how close these things, the park is to our residences.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Joe Hoflick, and I'm a Morro Bay citizen and also a neighbor to the park area. I'm a member of Morro Bay Pups, and I just wanted to let you know that if there's anything that you'd like to discuss offline or any other time, we're certainly available to you. We've had a very, very wonderful experience with Joe and the city staff in terms of the process of building the park. We've had numerous comments of appreciation, both on our website and also just intermittently as we run into visitors to the park. We frequently have visitors from out of town to our park who say they came to our park because of the dog park, and that, you know, means, of course, tourist dollars.
All right, Betty, A3.
A3 is the approval of amendments to the bylaws for the Community Promotions Committee. And I just have a couple of word suggestions on the third line of the red paragraph. It's actually the second sentence, and it begins, "The purpose of the CPC shall be to provide input and recommendations to the Morro Bay City Council on policies and expenditures." My sense is that what they really do is act on our behalf rather than give us input and recommendations. I mean, they recommend in terms of the budget to us, but monthly they spend money for mm-hmm. us, and that really doesn't require our approval or recommendation. So I thought maybe we could do just a little wordsmithing there to have it more accurate reflect what actually happens there. And then my only other comment would be in the next line down, line 4, where it says to advertise and promote Morro Bay. I think that should be to advertise and promote the city of Morro Bay, so it's not confused with the bay itself.
Okay. So what is your suggestion for the wording on the earlier part there?
It could be to act for or on behalf of, to take out the words, provide input and recommendation to, and have it say shall be to act on behalf of the city. council. I mean, we don't approve all their decisions. They just do it.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, say it again. What wording are you suggesting?
On behalf of?
So read the sentence for me. I'm sorry. I'm not getting what you want to do.
Read the full sentence. The purpose of the CPC shall be to act on behalf of the Morro Bay City Council.
Regarding policies and expenditure programs. Okay.
How does and that? Then continue that to advertise and promote the city of Morro Bay. So
okay
just in words, insert the words the city of.
Is that okay with the rest of the council? Yeah, all right with those? Okay. All right. You want to make that motion, Betty?
I would move the approval of the change to the bylaws of the Community Promotions Committee with the language change suggested in the second sentence.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. And A4, Betty.
A4 is the approval of the Visitor Center contract for this coming year. And I had questions on page 2, number 6. And this is the item that deals with hours. And the addition that was put in was the Visitor Center shall operate 7 days a week, excluding Easter Sunday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. Operational hours will include a minimum of 4 hours on Sundays and holidays, excluding those referred above, with the review of the city manager. I think that's good. I'd like to go a little bit further. I'd like to know what happens on the other 361 days. And maybe this is just a clarification. Is it we assume that the visitor hours are the same as the chamber hours? And if so, what happens on Saturday? Because I don't know that the chamber's open on Saturday necessarily. And so I'd like that clarified.
Okay. Other council members?
Well, I'm going to comment on it. It says right in there, office hours will be scheduled at the discretion of the chamber and reviewed by the city manager. And we had that discussion about the flexibility of their hours based on, based on the season and time changes and things like that. As long as the city manager is monitoring or reviewing it, I'm comfortable with that.
But I'd like to know what that is, though. I think in our contract, if the chamber's open, then can't we just say, if the chamber's open, then the visitor center's open? I mean, isn't that, don't we, I mean, I think Mr. Candela could probably answer this question. Doesn't he address anyone that comes into his business if the door is open?
Well, but you have one good point, and that's that Saturday is not included here, and
yeah.
The chamber is not always open on Saturday, I don't
and
think.
That should be
is
a
it?
Very
Would you like to
day.
Have Mr. Candela come forward?
7 days a week.
But I don't know what hours are on Saturday. Will they also have the minimum of 4 or not?
What you do on Saturdays?
We're open. I think it says there, Saturdays it's 6 hours.
Mm-mm, it does not say.
It's 10 to 6. Holidays, 4 hours. It's
10 to 4?
10 to 2. And the chamber does open up Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. The visitor center is separate from the hours-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And it does change with the seasons.
And I don't have a problem with that, but just like you said, 4 hours a day on Sundays, and so like we say
yes,
four.
Yes, yeah. Exactly right.
Okay.
In the winter months, it's 8:30 to 5 because mm-hmm. of the flow.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. All right.
Council, before you continue on, I just want to make sure that I'm clear for the reading of that paragraph. And what I'm assuming you meant was operational hours will include a minimum of 8 hours Monday through Friday, 6 hours on Saturday, and 4 hours on Sunday and holidays, excluding those referenced above. Is that going to meet what you're thinking about?
That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The rest of the council in agreement? Okay. All right. Where?
There's 2 years.
Oh. New Year's, Year's Day. Typo.
And I did have one more comment, if I might, on number 11 on page 3.
Okay.
The City Administrative Services Director shall work with the Chamber to perform a detailed financial review at the end of the fiscal year. Maybe this is redundant. Would that report automatically go to the Promotions Committee or to the City Council? Or Will that just be something that stays with staff?
We can do whatever the city council would like. I would think it can certainly come to promotions. It can be forwarded on to council, either one of those two, both.
I like to see it at least go to promotions.
Well, yeah, because they're the ones that are authorizing the money.
So maybe we could add, at the end of the fiscal year, which will be forwarded to the promotions committee.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay. Betty, want to do a motion? I would move approval of the new contract for the visitor center with changes, with expand, with definitive hours exercised in item number 6 and with the added phrase in number 11 forwarded to the promotions committee.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. We're just going so fast tonight. We're not supposed to start our public hearings until 7. So let's move on to some of our D items. Item D1 is a recommendation on amending the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District bylaws in relation to member designation. Andrea?
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. During the recent board and commission interviews on May 10th of this year, the council directed staff to return with a discussion on member designations for the Morro Bay TBID board. The original qualifications for the TBID board were that, the Morro Bay TBID board shall consist of 4 members from the Morro Bay lodging industry, 1 member representing the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce, and 2 other members, and 2 members from the community at large. The 4 members from the lodging industry were further delineated, consisting of 1 member representing lodging rooms of less than 22, 2 members representing 50 or less, and 1 member representing hotels of 51 or more. Back in May of 2009, a year ago, when you had your initial interview process, you amended those designations and changed it to a designation to have 2 members representing hotels with 51 or more and 1 member representing hotels of 50 or less. Staff did not, between then and now, bring back a resolution changing that. So we will, in addition to what changes you make tonight, bring back that resolution. But it's important that you know that that's been changed. Already. Again, at the May 10th, 2010 interviews, the discussion consisted of perhaps the bylaws using the word shall when referencing the specific member designations. Other boards and commissions, specifically the Community Promotions Committee and the Harbor Advisory Board, use that statement, and they use the statement that sounds like the City Council will attempt to select members from the following categories versus the City Council shall select members from the following categories. We've brought back to you some options this evening that will allow that if applications don't specifically fit a designation, there may still be an option for appointment with the language change. At the end of your staff report, we just have one option for you, but there's certainly a number of suggestions. And what we talked, what we put in our staff report, is that perhaps you continue to leave your 3 your lodging industry representation, such as the following: 3 members of the 4 from the lodging industry shall consist of 1 member representing less than 22, 1 member representing 50 or less, and 1 member representing 51 or more. And then add the City Council will attempt to select the 4th member as a member representing hotels with 51 or more rooms. This item, I think it's important to note that this item was on the Morro Bay TBID agenda for their June 17th meeting. Unfortunately, that meeting went very long and we weren't able to discuss this, so the committee hasn't seen this issue as of yet. You certainly can hold off your decision and have their input, their meeting this Thursday, or you can make a determination tonight if you feel like you have enough information. I haven't heard a lot concerning the designations, but again, we didn't have a chance to.
Sorry for not asking you in advance. Do you know, or maybe someone in the audience knows, what are the percentages per those groups? I didn't find my old staff report that said we have so many under 20, so many at 50, and so many over. Do we know how many hotels are at those different levels?
I don't know off. I'm looking at, I don't think Rob remembers. You do have a member in the audience that may know that information off the top of her head.
Would you like to bring Ms. Solo up? Okay, Joan, can you come up?
Good evening, Council.
So for Morro Bay, the average room count, if you take all, we have 33 hotels participating in the T-Bid. We have approximately, well, the median, the middle point would be 28 rooms. It's basically 28.3 rooms off the top of my memory for an average room count per hotel.
But
is that what you're asking? What the
average?
Yeah,
really not the median, more just how many are little guys and how many big guys.
Well, that's an interesting, because the T-bid is set up as representation per room.
Per room.
So it's not necessarily set up for hotel size.
Mm-hmm.
It's set up for ownership size.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we set up. So, for example, one owner can have three hotels that are all 20 rooms. That makes them a 60-person, a 60-room mm-hmm. owner, mm-hmm. versus a single owner who has 12 rooms, for example. Or a single owner who has eight rooms, or an owner who has three hotels, and one of them is two rooms, one of them is three rooms, and one of them is six rooms.
Do we tend to have hotels that are like the person with the 60? Like there's more owners that have larger rooms than, or do we have a lot of little guys?
We have a lot of, we have more independent little guys, more single owners. What's interesting about that is, again, when we go back to that 28-room average, when you look at the amount of rooms, first of all, Morro Bay does not have any large hotels, and our business, even the Inn at Morro Bay, is considered a small boutique hotel. So it's difficult to say, you know, we have a large hotel. Actually, disproportionately, I would say, if you were looking at the size of hotels per unit, rooms per unit, disproportionately, you have much smaller hotels than you do larger hotels. But then you have some people who own three hotels and they have 70 rooms. A good example of that is Michelle Jaquez represents a hotel group, the Bartfield Group, and they have the Masterpiece, Best Western, El Rancho, and the La Serena. So they have those three hotels.
I think what Councilman Winholtz's question, though, is how many really do you have in that group over 51 that could apply for over 51 rooms? How many? We have Michelle. There might be
probably
Dina Morro Bay. You probably have less than five
I'd say less
people
than
that
right
could
hand.
Apply for that position.
I mean, if
and
I,
that's the trouble we're having.
If I might be so bold as to make a suggestion, and you can do what you want with this, I haven't talked to my board about this at all. You might want to hang off and let the board talk about it. But it might be good to say, okay, we need a person to represent the small hotels. We need a person to represent the large hotels. And the people in the middle, they can be at large hoteliers at large. And that way you have that flexibility to kind of, so you still have your four hoteliers represented. You still have a cement small one. You've cemented your large one, and the others kind of fall in the middle somewhere. Just a thought. Any other questions?
Just my last one. You said that 33 are participating. How many are not participating?
There's 33 hotels in town.
And they're all participating then?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. What are we thinking? Do we want to wait and let the TV talk about this and bring the recommendations?
My only input to them would be, the reason I like the shall language on this is because there are different sizes and it is about their money, mm-hmm. and it seems like the different groups should have a representative, which I think makes it different from our other committees.
Okay. Well, again, I'd just as soon have the TBID talk about this and bring back a recommendation to us, because they're the ones that know best how mm-hmm. they feel it would be fair. Okay? All right, so why don't we send this back to TBID to give us a recommendation. And we'll move on to item D2, which is a request for utilization of park in lieu funds for the preparation of an initial study, a mitigated negative declaration and completion of California Environmental Quality Act document for the Teen Center Master Plan.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I was advised to keep the title very long, so I did my best.
You're trying to beat Rob on those, huh?
The Teen Center Master Plan skate park project is currently on a concept master plan level, and it needs to go to much more detail and hopefully into construction soon. The master plan was approved by council back in 86 or 2008, pardon me, and council directed staff to look for some funds. We found Proposition 84, which is a statewide park development and community revitalization program of 2008. This program offers grant monies to various projects. The Teen Center project certainly fits the eligibility list. So we brought this in front of the Recreation Parks Commission and then into council. And in January, at your 11th, 2010 meeting, you approved Resolution 0110, which and directed staff to apply for the Proposition 84 funds. January to March 1st was the first deadline, and we were unable to meet that deadline. We were very fortunate. There's a two-round funding in this particular program, and the next program funding, round two, will be no.
Since this was already a project earlier, can it just be a negative deck or whatever the more simple item is?
Well, the project is much different, and I think maybe the fact that we're going to be doing an in-ground skate park, so there'll be a lot of excavation on the site, so this is possibly a reason why we'd want to go to mitigated negative declaration.
Okay. And my second question is, can you have more than one project? Could the city have two projects applying for the 84 funding or not? Prop 84 funding? Or
I believe would they just so. I have not read that restriction.
Okay.
I can certainly look through my documents, but I don't recall anything like that.
Okay. Thanks.
Rick, anything? No? Comment? Okay. All right. Discussion? Motion?
Move approval of D2.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. Moving along. D3 is a request to approve a response to the grand jury regarding leaf blowers. Andrea.
For some reason, when people hear the title of this report, they smile. I think it's about leaf blowers, but who knows? It's been an interesting journey through the leaf blower, the world of leaf blowers. Seriously, on April 27th, the city received a report prepared by the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury entitled Leaf Blower Hazards in San Luis Obispo County. The report specifically required the Morro Bay City Council to submit a response to recommendation number 3 of the report to the presiding judge of the San Luis Obispo County Superior Court by July 29th. Recommendation 3 was that each incorporated city within San Luis Obispo County adopt a parallel ordinance to ensure consistency throughout the county concerning phasing out all two-cycle gasoline-powered leaf blowers. Back in April of 2008, staff reported provided a staff report, which is attached to your document this evening, to the City Council regarding noise abatement provisions of the Muni Code as they pertain to kennels and garden machine noise. The action from that item back in April of 2008 was to review the noise issues and return to the City Council with an update on the noise ordinance. As you might know, the project updating the noise ordinance is currently on our agenda planning guide, and we have not gotten to that as of yet. Under Penal Code Section 933-05, the city is required in the response to the grand jury to indicate one of the following responses to the findings. Either we agree with the findings or that we disagree partially or wholly with the findings and why. We have prepared a draft response, which is attached to your staff report as well, to the grand jury. And while staff agrees with most of the findings, we do not recommend that the City of Morro Bay move forward on an ordinance regulating leaf blowers. We suggest that the recommendations not be implemented for 5 different reasons, and those are contained in the letter that we've authored for the mayor's signature, and that includes that currently we've had no study within the City of Morro Bay showing that there are significant impacts from leaf blowers that are occurring with the regularity and frequency that mandate certainly the adoption of an ordinance. We checked back with both records with the police department as well as the public services department and the Recreation and Parks Department, and we have not received any complaints regarding noise disturbances from leaf blowers. We are concerned with the restriction of leaf blowers perhaps causing the use of water and hoses to clean areas that currently leaf blowers are used for. We're concerned in talking to other agencies about the enforcement of such a regulation. It has proven difficult in other areas. And then last, and as indicated in the grand jury report, the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District
is actively developing a multi-pollutant clean air plan, which is scheduled to be presented to the County Board of Supervisors in December of 2010. And as a result, we feel it might be prudent to wait until recommendations are provided by the APCD. In closing, this has gone to several other cities. I will note that no other cities have indicated that they were planning on recommending an adoption of a leaf blower ordinance in response to the grand jury recommendation. And then lastly, I will note that the city of Morro Bay leaf blowers that we have currently meet the highest standard for leaf blowing. We've attached the summary from the grand jury to your staff report, the minutes from the April 2008 meeting, as well as a draft letter that we need some sort of movement on this evening in order to provide back to the grand jury by July 29th. That concludes my staff report.
Okay. Any questions? Okay.
Would you clarify? I think you said this, Ms. Looker. What is it that the city is using right now? Are they using the four engine or the two?
We are, in talking to Mr. Woods, we are currently using the two-cycle gasoline engines, but the leaf blowers that we currently use are new and meet all emission standards, so they're the best that we can get without going to electric, which I think there are some concerns about the use of electric and adaptability, I guess.
They were distinguishing between the two and the four, so we have new two-cycle ones.
That's my understanding.
That we're concerned about this health issue, which has been raised. And in order to show that, what I'd like to do is take item number 5 in your letter, which references that we want to wait for the Air Pollution Control District to bring forward their report in December, and put that actually into the body of the letter after in that first paragraph. Let me jump to the middle of it. It was determined to not pursue adoption of an ordinance regarding leaf blowers at this time, and then say rather, and then bring number 5 up and indicate that rather would like to wait for this report, so then we can act on that. The way it's stated now, I feel like we're just saying we heard you and we don't care is kind of the feel of it. And so I want to acknowledge that at least I'm concerned about it, and council may disagree with me, and that's whatever. But I think it's good to say we acknowledge that you've done your research, you've found good evidence, and that we want to say we're interested, but now is not the time. And that's what I would like to move that paragraph. We could still have a number 5 saying, and we're waiting for the report. But I think to move it up and acknowledge that is a little bit important. The other thing that I would do to show that is that in that next sentence, the city of Morro Bay will not be implementing recommendation number 3 at this time due to the following reasons. And so I think, again, it says we heard you. We hear that may is going to be discussed later, and it's not just this big no in your face.
Okay. That sounds reasonable to me. Anybody have any problem with that? Okay, so what we'd be doing is moving, and I don't think you need to have a paragraph 5 then. I just move the content of 5 into the first paragraph of the letter, and then I think that for your where we do go into the numbers, just say that we will not at this time be implementing recommendation number 3 and for these additional reasons, perhaps, something like that. Okay, is that sufficient direction? Okay. You want to make that motion, Betty?
I would move approval of the letter of response to the grand jury regarding leaf blower hazard with the change of moving item number 5 into the paragraph, first paragraph of the document, and adding the words at this time to the first sentence of the second paragraph.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. And with that, we'll take a short break and come back with our public hearings.
Could be mistaken, but I think something was worked on.
Okay. Okay, we're back. And we're starting with our public hearing items. Item B1 is adoption of a resolution declaring the city's intention to increase the assessment from 2 to 3% within the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District and fixing the time and place of a public meeting and a public hearing thereon and giving notice thereof. Rob?
Yes, good evening, Council. At your June 28, 2010 City Council meeting, Council directed staff to return with a resolution to increase the assessments within the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District back to 3%. If you recall, you began the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District a year ago, and you started that tourism bid at 3%, but you had put in the ordinance to reduce it to 2% beginning in July of 2010. Based on that direction, though, you've decided not to increase the transient occupancy tax and instead go back to the 3% that was collected last year. I've done that and put together a resolution declaring your intent to adopt an ordinance that would increase that assessment from 2% back to the original 3% that was collected last year. I've provided, if the council does approve the attached resolution of its intent, the process for increasing the assessment from 2 to 3%, which would be as follows. Tonight would be your resolution of intent to increase the assessment. You would have your public meeting of protest to increase the assessment at the August 9th meeting. You'd have your public hearing of protest to increase the assessment on September 13th. At your September 13th meeting, you'd also have your first reading of the ordinance to increase the assessment. You'd have your second reading of the ordinance.
Okay. I had a question, comment that I wanted to do before we open up the public. And I didn't think about this last time, but we're going back to this for 1 year when we can't put anything on the ballot for two. So I'm wondering if we couldn't, on the second to the last paragraph on page 304, change it to the year 2011-12. Is there any problem with doing that?
You will be bringing this back every year, regardless. We're going to schedule this because this is an assessment just like the cloisters. We'll be bringing back every year you're redoing. You won't have to redo the ordinance because now it'll read permanently 3%. But each and every year, you'll have to do your assessment just like you do the cloisters assessment on the street and highways code and reaffirm it every year.
Okay, so we won't have to go through this whole thing.
You won't have to do the first and second readings, but you'll still be at 3% and have to do that public hearing kind of like you do the cloisters. But you won't have to do the first and second reading of the ordinance because that'll always now be at 3%.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Other questions for Rob? Anything?
Go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned the vacation rentals and that being included within the year. I'm curious to know who you see as the driver to that outreach campaign and if there are certain things that need to be done to help support that effort and really what you think the process is going to be.
We haven't talked internally who will be the staff person that will spearhead that. We'll have to talk, you know, probably someone in the City Hall administration that knows all those vacation rentals, but probably myself, the city manager, or the administrative director would be the three that we're going to turn to for, you know, and it might be a joint effort by that outreach. I mean, the first thing would be, you know, we've got to get out letters to all of them explaining the process and getting initial feedback and setting some meetings up, so... But I think it'll come from our department. City manager might want to weigh in on that.
I agree. We currently have approximately 150 registered vacation rentals in the city of Morro Bay, so we've got a good start. Staff is actively looking at when questions come up about vacation rentals, staff checks into those. So we've got a good base to start with, but I agree with Mr. Schultz. I think it's going to be a combination of efforts. We've got staff that currently deal with vacation rentals. So we've got, again, a little bit of a heads up on that.
Do you see the current T-bid board having any involvement?
I don't think they're going to have involvement with the initial push. They're definitely part of their recommendation to you was to look at vacation rentals as well as I think they included retail and restaurants. But clearly after it gets established, I think we'll probably even be looking at, I'm going to look over to Mr. Schultz about possibly changing the bylaws and the representation on the TBID board if vacation rentals then are going to be represented at a percentage.
Yeah, I think there'll be some interaction, and we could probably have some of the maybe hearings if people, you know, want to come and put an input. You need some type of public hearing. So I could see those initially being at the TBID. Not only about the representation, but also just the percentage. I mean, should it be the 3%, 2%, or 1% are things that I think need to be hashed out, and those could be at the TBID and then brought as a recommendation to the council.
Right. Well, I would think that one way that the board members might be involved, too, is in if they know of vacation rentals that perhaps the city's not aware of yet, to be able to let them know that and check all the websites on that. Okay, any other questions?
I had one. Yeah. I was willing to support this change if it was picking up some of the other things that the city has committed money towards, and yet I don't see anything in the resolution about that. Is that something that's an assumed thing, or what's up with that?
Yes, that wouldn't be part of the TBID. That's part of your own decision-making authority. You have the ability to decide, even though this is a TBID, it's still your budget and your budgeted items. You certainly have to, within the TBID and the Street and Highways Code, you couldn't take it and use it for stuff outside the promotion of Morro Bay. But you're certainly in charge of the budgets and have determined where their amounts will go once this is raised. If that's what you meant, the 30% that goes towards is already a done deal and doesn't need to be put in this resolution or any other ordinance. That'll be done by year basis.
Because we had talked about sponsoring the Visitors Bureau Center with the county and that kind of thing, so but we didn't put that in the budget, I don't believe. Or did we?
They are adopting their budget at actually our meeting, or they're looking at the adoption of the budget actually on their in their July meeting, and their recommendation to you, which I believe you accepted last meeting, was $6,000 for AGP and $24,000 for VCB, and then 33% of the chamber's of the visitor center contract once that 2% goes to 3%. So that was in the motion that you approved yesterday. For that discussion, I thought we kept it at 33.
Mm. I think we did too.
I don't think so.
We can check back and just solidify either one, whichever the board voted for. But thank you for bringing that up.
We probably both remember what we wanted it to be. So.
No, because we have the discretion. We have the ability to set the rate, and that's why we discussed what we were looking to cover to make up for the difference of that 1% TOT that we wouldn't have.
Okay. Motion?
Move approval of item B1.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. All right, item B2. This is discussion regarding making city advisory boards more involved and effective, and it's one that I brought forward. As you know, we've had, over the years, it kind of comes in waves where we have a little bit of frustration with our advisory boards as to what they are contributing to the city, and we know that we need their input. We know that they review things that we may not have time to, but at the same time, sometimes they feel a disconnect. And once before, I had suggested that each of us adopt a board, because there's five of them, and each of us could adopt one that would be ours to be the liaison. And so that was one suggestion. Another was that we have the representative from each of the boards give a monthly report to the council. I don't know about the rest of you, but I did get some input from board members that aren't here tonight, and so have some ideas there as well. Did you have any questions before we open it up to the public comment? Because I see a couple of board members out there. Okay. Anybody comments or questions? Okay. The public hearing. Anyone wishing to speak on this topic, please come forward.
Thank you, City Council here. My name is Bill LaFay, and I'm on the Harbor Advisory Board. And I just came here to thank you for taking this on your agenda, because I think that in some respects, I've been on the board now for 2 years, I don't really know what our goal is. I mean, maybe that is one thing that we should actually establish. What's the goal of the Harbor Advisory Board? That's never been told to me. What do you, as a city council, want us to do? Give us some tasks, to give us some goals. Do them. When I came onto the board, I had a member of the community ask me to look into the discharge of boats and that led to a subcommittee of the Liverboard. I was on a subcommittee for 6 months. A lot of good came out of that. We created a Liverboard Association. We actually allocated who was living on board in the Bay, had them register, and hopefully made them in compliance, and we're continuing that process. I think it's up to each individual board member also to engage in some of their projects and some of the things, but you as the City Council have the ultimate decisions of everything that goes on in the city here. Give us the task to do certain things. You have a full plate. Give us the, not the authority, but just maybe the task to do things. The Maritime Museum, I think, is a good example. It's never been brought to the Harbor Board in the last 2 years. Now, I don't know really where it's at, but maybe that's an agenda item that the Harbor could have tackled, could have had a public forum. A lot of times, no one comes to our public forums. We've had two packed audiences. One, when you had the zoning ordinance in the Back Bay on the oil tankers, I think, coming down. That was a little nebulous, though, because we kind of got that at the last minute, not knowing really what the zoning was. So for us to render the decision on whether or not it was a good thing to do or not was very difficult for us to determine. If it was zoned for it, I might have, you know, we might have voted a different matter. But the point being, I think the big tool here is communication. Communicate to us. No one from the City Council has ever been to a Harbor Board meeting in 2 years. So if you just maybe communicated, I'm not saying you guys have a heavy, a large plate. I don't know if you want to tackle another advisory board, but maybe set some goals. Give it to Eric or Susan over here, at least on the Harbor Board. Tell us what you'd like us to accomplish over the next 6 months to a year. These are the tasks we'd like you to do. Maybe we in turn say we'd like to look at these things. What do you think? I'm not saying that the Harbor Board is the forum for the leases, but I know that the Harbor Board used to be the forum for the lease sites on the Embarcadero in the 80s. It was taken away from it, and now you folks, you know, the City Council have it. But maybe we can get involved in some respect to do some of the initial public works. That's all. So
I'm not going to cut you off. If you've got more to say, go ahead, because we haven't got a lot of people here and we need the input.
So, you know, I know you have five boards. We have a full board and we have a lot of engaged members. We have a, you know, fishing organization. You know, as you've read in the papers, the fishing community is starting to make a little bit of comeback. You know, we have a lot of things, but I think we could tackle more projects and help you folks out.
The other people are going to talk. Did you want to ask him a question, Noah?
Yeah, I guess for any speakers tonight that currently sit on a board, it would be interesting to know what your thought would be about the board's response to an invitation for updates occasionally to the council during the meetings, if that's something you think would be helpful to point out, projects that you're working on, things that you have on your mind as a board as a whole. If that would be helpful or not, would be worthwhile for me.
I think it's a wonderful task. I mean, you know, and maybe each of us could have that opportunity to come here to a City Council meeting and give you folks a report. I think it would engage us more, and I think it would be a good exchange. You know, so definitely, you know, as I say, the more communication, the better. And again, I'm not pointing out the Harbor Board, but there has been a reorganization. You know, Rick left us. We as the Harbor Advisory Board really have no clue what has happened or what's gone on. Now, I know, and I just chatted with Eric and Susan, there was a lot of, you know, it was kind of in flux, so it just really just happened. So, and I've had conversations with Andrea. But, you know, again, I'm not saying that maybe we should have been involved in a little bit of it, but, you know, there's been a lot of rumors flying around about, you know, merging with the fire department, doing this. We, as the Harbor Advisory Board, had no knowledge of really what was going on. Again, just lack of communication, that's all. Now, maybe you didn't want us to know, and that's fine. and I understand that. It might have been a little bit of a closed session. But as I say, I think the more that we can communicate, the more that we can help you. There's a lot of people out there that would like to get engaged if they were given the task, and they felt that what they were given and the task that they do would be taken, you know, seriously. You know, hey, we don't always know that you're going to agree with everything we say, but if we prepare factual facts on certain things, then at least we have done our job and feel empowered. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, Karen Crowley with Rec and Parks. Okay, well, thank you for having this, and I agree with what you just said. I feel like we're all islands, and there's no real connection to back to you guys. And so when we're given the opportunity to raise issues like bike paths, I will say, let's get an update with the bike path committee. So they come and they give an update, but then it just kind of dies down. We don't know where it goes after that. That's one example. Another example, we're about to take a tour of all the parks in the city, and we're looking forward to that. There's an issue with graffiti. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that would be another support for the idea of having board members do an update to the council. So I support that idea. I also like the liaison idea with having one council member on each board. That would make me feel like I have more connection, more communication, more open, collaborative effort. And that's all, unless you have any questions.
Okay, any questions there?
Thanks.
How do you feel about taking on the dog park situation? I'm not joking, actually. Okay.
Good evening, Council. Joan Solu. Thank you for taking my comment again. I would just like to say that it would be wonderful if we did have a liaison from the council. There's five boards, five of you. You could just assign one individual to the board who we could reach out to on issues or who we could get back to or who, if you had issues, could be your a direct line of communication for you, basically. I have no problem following as long as there could be a rotation for a board member to show up, and it didn't have to be the chair constantly to show up and give a report 12 times a year, that would be really great. If it could be, a rotation of board members. And I would say to you that, if you're following the TBIT at all, and you know how long, if you are, how long some of our meetings can be, and I have a feeling this next one's going to be a big one, then, for you to take all five of you to take that time out to follow that three-hour meeting, I mean, it could cut down for you to, have that monthly reports. I'm not sure if it's good for you. Basically, what I'm trying to say is for you to come back with a monthly report and to have a chairperson or whoever from the board come back with a monthly report. I think if you have somebody assigned as a communicator and then have the monthly report sweep in off the board, that might cover your bases a little better and limit your time and probably everyone else's too. I know for me, my board, the agendas are packed. And outside of just the meeting,
legislating something that may not be necessary. But and finally, I would like to see a little more collaboration. I think you may have some board members on various commissions that would make it easier to maybe move people around if you had to or share some expertise for certain projects. So I think something along the lines of, as Noah had mentioned to me earlier, maybe an annual meeting of all the boards might be good to foster that communication.
Okay. Thank you. Got one person left. Anything to say? Okay. All right. We'll bring it back to the council. Okay. So we've gotten some ideas right there. Some of the other input that I had, just to share it with you. Definitely to continue videotaping, which we already decided. Have a summary of the minutes relating to specific issues given to the council, and a liaison. This was from
Jim Phillips, Harbor Advisory Board. One of the things that he says that I thought was important is he felt uncomfortable sometimes calling a member of the council to talk about a recommendation that is passed from the board to the council if they knew that there was a specific person that they could contact that would be more comfortable for them. And this was from John Zwemer, who was on the PWAB board, and he said one of the frustrations there was never knowing what their recommendations, where they went after they made them, whether it was discussed by council, whether any action was taken or not. And so it was kind of just a frustrating feeling to not get that feedback of what happened. Did it go to council? Was it discussed? And then what happened? So that was the input I had. How about you? Did you get comments from people, Noah?
Yeah, I did. And overall, they matched very much what you've just reported. I found that both the two ideas in the report were responded to favorably, and it seemed like, you know, we're all we're dealing with volunteers, but people that are committed and really want to see the best for Morro Bay. So what I'm understanding from them is that they are looking for ways to make the most of their time and to be effective and helpful. So it's been really nice to get that feedback, and I think that's been consistent since I've been on the council. So I think those first two ideas that we have in the staff report are excellent, and we should follow up on those. Something that Barbara mentioned that I've thought about for a while is a yearly meeting or workshop where it was kind of an open house opportunity for all the advisory boards to get together. When I was on the Public Works Advisory Board, there's very limited interaction with the other board members, and Ms. Crowley, you know, mentioned that it feels like a bit of an island being on one of the boards. And I think, too, not only is there somewhat of a lack of communication between the council and the board, but also between the community and the board. And perhaps if we were to pursue this open house type concept, it would be a great opportunity for the community to be invited out to meet departments, the boards that are representing the community, hear about some of the key projects that those boards are working on. The council could be there. It'd be an invitation for people to bring ideas and feedback, and overall just to help build awareness about what's happening and collaboration between the boards as well. So I thought that was something that would be worthwhile. Along those lines, I think, and Mr. LaFay's comments kind of spark this in me, in that when we have our goal setting meetings, we should take a little bit of time and think about specifically each of the advisory boards, and maybe have some suggestions going into that meeting from the advisory board and the departments, what they think would be really worthwhile projects and work tasks for them to take on over the course of the next year, at least to give give them a better idea about what's a big priority for us and what might be really helpful. So that would be something I think would be a good check-in. I like the idea of actually communicating to the board. I know when you join a board, you get a good orientation, and there's you know, there's obviously some good activities going on that keep the board focused on the key resources and projects. As a council, we receive the minutes and agendas for all the board meetings, and even though we don't attend many of the meetings, we with AGP we're able to review them, which is very helpful. And and that is why I think the idea of Eliason being an important element is something that we should definitely pursue. So it's clear to the board, who do I pick up the phone and call to get some information and help.
Okay. Carla?
I agree with all the comments so far, and certainly it can only make it better, the process better. The goal setting, I think, would be a good idea, and I guess until Mr. LaFay really talked about it,
we see the agendas as Noah said, but we don't really participate in what they're doing. So I think that having some goals for those advisory boards that we want, rather than just when we direct something to them, we send something to planning and we send something to Harbor, but to actually have something a little more focused at the beginning of the year each year would help, I think, move some of the projects along a little better. I know the community promotions and TBID meet one after another and have a joint meeting because they have several budget things that are similar. But I like the idea of the annual group board meeting, but maybe during the year it would help as you talk about fostering some of those organizations along. I could see where Harbor and Parks and Recs might have a lot that they could work jointly on if they met once or twice a year because of all the waterfront parks and things like that, that they could, rather than a Parks and Rec meeting and then Harbor meeting, they could collaborate and get a lot more done. Same with PWEB and Parks and Rec. Just a park tour, I could see where several of these other advisory boards might want the opportunity to participate in that. Maybe Harbor doesn't want to see Del Mar Park, but certainly they would want to be a part of the others that are being toured. So maybe we need to find a way to bring some of those joint meetings together for them, too. Out of it is, you know, are we rock, paper, scissors? Who's on what committee, you know? And then you build a relationship, and for me it feels a little bit like some of the boards we sit on already, and I don't know how it would work, but I would probably be a little more favorable to some sort of rotation so that one council member isn't continually on just one board. And I don't know that it would be every month we'd change, but once a year, even 6 months, and then rotate or something, because I just think that that's better for the board. It would be better for us as council members.
Okay, Rick?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to remind ourselves that we have these people every once in a while, because sometimes I think we forget. Sometimes we think we have to take care of everything, and sometimes we feel there's a sense of urgency when in reality there isn't. So we were able to use our Park and Rec board here recently when we had a discussion about rates through Department of Park and Rec regarding nonprofits and things like this, and they were very helpful. So, and I would like to see them take on this dog park issue and act as intermediary and see if they can work things out and bring back to us, but that's another deal. I think an annual rotation would probably be appropriate. It gives you enough time to learn it and be effective. I also think how we have our every meeting we have a report, you know, from department heads and things. I don't see why we couldn't each meeting have a report from one of the board members. And if you work that out, it's almost a quarterly report or a little more than a quarterly report from each board, which I think it'd be great for them to let us know what's on their what's on their plate and how things are going. So, that's where I'm at with it.
Penny? I love greater involvement. I think it's a good idea. There's been lots of good ideas on how to do that, and I'm willing to talk about those if we want to get specific.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the two suggestions we've got, the liaison. And I like some of the things that were said today. The liaison doesn't necessarily have to be there every meeting all the time, but certainly can combine watching it, being there at least for part of each meeting and looking at the minutes, and able to at that point be the contact person, be there enough that they know you and can talk to you on a casual level as well. So I think that's a good point. And then having the designated person to give a report, if it's once or twice quarterly, you figured out could be quarterly, and that could rotate within the boards. I think that's also a good idea. And it also lets the public know, too, if they don't catch those meetings, when they watch our meetings as well. So maybe there's a way we can give a little more freedom to the boards to do some of their own research and outreach and bring a little bit more, kind of like when we do our own reports for the council, something like that. Then it just becomes staff. When it becomes an active
something that they want to recommend to council, then staff could weigh in on that. So that's a consideration. We have to remember that staff doesn't have a lot of spare time.
I think that's important, yeah. Especially because you look at the composition of who sits on our boards, and they're all focused very much usually having experience directly related to the board's mission. And what I've seen is that if we gave them that avenue to be more active, they could actually initiate some of those skills that they bring to the table and be more of support for us in areas that we're having a challenge getting to because of, you know, the day-to-day callings of operations for internal city management.
Okay. Do you staff members see any problem with something like that?
So you're talking specifically of a council member attending or being aware?
No, about giving the boards and commissions a little bit more leeway to pursue things on their own and put together a package of something that then staff would look over before it comes to council.
It sounds like, no, we don't have any problem with that. Okay. I think it's project dependent, and I see a lot of the boards and commissions already doing that.
Okay.
So, no.
Is currently in orientations, is there a communication about what the avenue is for the board members so they realize, okay, if there's a specific project or issue that we'd like to focus on, this is how we'd go about doing that, so they understand the subcommittee process or ways to, because, you know, the meetings are somewhat challenging to get creative and really put the feet on the street and be active, and seems like our subcommittee option could potentially, or another option that has less time commitments from staff, but gives the board the opportunity to get active outside of the meetings. Is that something that's a part of the orientation now? I don't recall that, but I know if it comes up, they're told how they could actually pursue it.
It can be. You will note that we've had a pretty significant change in the department heads in the last probably 2 years, so it's certainly something that we can focus on as we do our orientations. I think that every commissioner, with maybe the exception of Q at this point, we go through a pretty extensive orientation, and not to pick on Q, but because they only meet a couple times a year, I think we probably do less of an orientation with that group. But that's certainly something that can be focused upon.
Okay. Well, if we're all agreed that we would like to do at least the liaison and the reporting thing, I think that to accomplish something on this tonight, we should figure out which one we want to represent.
Well, I would go on any one of them, but I'd also like to make sure that staff looks at the bylaws of the boards and make sure that they all do have identified goals on them.
Good idea.
They all have mission statements, and we certainly can go over those. I do an orientation when new members, some of them do fall through the cracks, though, but I try to get them each year, and they come in, and we do go over the Brown Act. We go over their bylaws, and we go over any other issues. So we do have that. Any changes that you want to make of these two, I certainly would suggest. I mean, you could pick what ones you want to go on, but we bring that back to formalize that in your policies and procedures, so that this would be part of your policies and procedures probably every January when you do your other nominations. Mm-hmm. You'd also pick these on which ones you're going to be the liaison for. So we'll bring that back to you when you make a determination.
Okay. We actually have six.
Can you please state them all?
And it's a little bit difficult with Planning Commission in that, you know, they are an adjudicated body and has hearings that have the appeal to you. So I'm not sure if you want to leave them off that list as not necessarily being an advisory body.
Okay. Well, that makes it easier. Then we're down
and
to
five. And you do have your twice-a-year meetings with them as a joint body to do issues. You know, I just wouldn't want there to be a possibility of being a bias on a certain project because of that liaison issue.
Yeah. Okay, so that takes us down to five.
Yeah. My comment about, I was thinking about that, but there are projects, pick on FAR, for example, where we would have them do something or look at I don't know, whatever they've looked at. But there are things that are outside of the legislative area that are issues for them, but I don't know how often they get to them.
You're an early person, right? I'll give you promotions because they meet before TBID.
Thank you.
Betty's going to do promotions and I'm going to do TBID. Mine may be longer, but yours will be earlier. Okay. All right, so that's a liaison thing. So do we need to formalize this some way, Rob?
We'll bring it back to you. Why don't you make the motion to incorporate? Is it one and two that you also want quarterly reports?
Mm-hmm.
I would make that motion to incorporate suggestion one and two and bring that back with changes to your policies and City Council's policies and procedures.
All right.
Before we make the motion, can I check in with the council on the idea of having an element within goal setting?
Yes,
annual
absolutely.
Goal setting yeah. to focus on each board. Is that something everyone's comfortable with?
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that, right, Rick?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that has to be part of the motion. That's just something
we'll add. If you're looking at an annual type of joint meeting with all boards and commissions, which some cities do, I mean, is that what you're looking for? Then that would be put in your policies and procedures.
The second thing I wanted to get some more feedback on, but this was more when we have our council and staff goal setting meeting, we actually talk with the staff and perhaps receive recommendations from the board about what they would see as priorities coming up, and we could have some time just to talk about, okay, these are some things that we think are really appropriate for the board to be working on over the next year. Basically, we could help set some of the goals for the board.
I almost think that, if you'll allow me, I almost think that that would be your meetings. I'm concerned about incorporating that in our goals. I think it's important, but I'm concerned about incorporating it in our goal-setting process because I see that as a link, possibly a 1 or 2 hour discussion. And our goal-setting, especially now because we've reduced our budget for that, is going to be pretty squishy as it is. I think that might be better served in an all-board meeting, perhaps.
Okay.
It sounds like you're going that direction anyway, and it might be worthwhile to do that, although then you've got all the boards there and talking about each other's goals. I'm not sure amateur.
Well, we could set a day where we would do board goals and just have each board come in for an hour or so.
Okay.
I mean, that I think we could add a day to our goal setting at some point.
I don't mind taking a little bit of time to think about it, but the open house concept, I've talked to plenty of people in the community that have expressed the interest to have a night where they could come out and learn a little more about a certain department or meet the chief of police and know that it was that night was one of our invitations for these people to have that opportunity. And I'm not saying that we have to do that right now, but I think that's
something. We used to do that. It was one of the things that went when the budget was cut. We had an annual dinner for all the advisory board members, and it was wonderful. It was a social event, and it was just really neat. But it went the wayside of the budget cuts about 3 or 4 years ago. So
we can always do a potluck.
We could. Yeah. We could. And I think it's a good idea. I really do.
And I like that that you were doing it somewhat socially. It's not really structured with the cameras blazing and everything. more like a relaxed atmosphere and environment.
But have a meeting associated with it. Or are you talking about just a social hour?
I would definitely advocate that we have that strong social element, but with the opportunity for maybe each department and their corresponding board to give a short presentation about what they're focusing on, and then leaving it more open for networking and mixing.
Once again, you could designate, say, a Saturday and say, okay, in the morning we're going to have these boards at these hours, then we're going to have a lunch for everybody. In the afternoon, we're going to have these boys at these hours. And you could combine the whole thing, make it both social and business.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you got your Brown Act things controlled, but you still have a social hour in the middle that would just be without that camera blazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
So how Ms. Luker might have some ideas about
how to continue this conversation and frame it.
If your idea is trying to do an annual type of meeting, my suggestion would be when we bring that back with your council's policies and procedures that we come back with language that would actually show that, you know, you need to schedule a meeting once a year, and so that it's in the record to know that's what council's direction is. And we'll work on language. We can look at, I mean, many cities do have annual meetings with their all their boards, and we can look at some language and bring it back to you with the language regarding the liaison and the monthly reports.
Great.
Okay.
Quarterly.
Quarterly, yeah.
Quarterly.
All right. So do you have enough wording, or do you want me to make a motion that says it all again?
Why don't you make a motion?
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, board member who came. Do you have right now, do you know the schedule for when all the boards meet? That's something a lot of people don't know.
I don't have it off the top, but we can get that to the council members tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll send you an email so everybody knows when every board meets.
Okay. All right. Future agenda items. I wanted to ask about the dog park situation. Do you need... I'd rather have it go to the Recreation and Parks Commission first, and that can be a project for them to really look into that and make some suggestions on that. Does that have to be a future agenda item, or can we just give you that direction tonight? Okay. Does the council agree with that direction? Yes, we do.
Can I make one suggestion that won't be meeting formally in this month? It won't be until August.
Okay.
We'd get a chance to see this and review it.
Okay.
That's all right.
All right. And the other thing that you might want to do is be in touch with Morro Bay Pups and just tell them that we're going to discuss this so that when it comes up at that meeting, they can be part of that discussion. And I notice that he's here right now, so he's hearing that. Because that definitely should be a group effort. Okay? All right. Future agenda items? Betty? Rick? Noah? Carla? Nothing? Okay. Boy, are we boring tonight. Okay. Thought for the night. This is from Helen Merrill Lind. What?
Apologizing to our city manager for not having any future agenda items.
I thought she was jumping up and down for joy. Okay. This is from Helen Merrill Lind, who is an American sociologist and educator. One of the sources of pride in being a human being is the ability to bear present frustrations in the interests of longer purposes. That's pretty appropriate to council meetings. Thank you, and we're adjourned until August. Have a happy summer vacation.